Hello, this is Glenda Such from the Delaware Valley Council of Citizens with Low Vision for our monthly meeting. This is September 11th, 2021. We have a guest speaker today. We have Mark Artisan from Hadley Institute. I hope I said that right correctly. and he'll be talking about the offerings of Hadley. They have free services for people to take workshops and courses, listen to podcasts, a whole variety of things are really beneficial. Most of all, they're free. but for a plug for our organization, if you would like to find out more information and you want to email to write to, you can write to glendasuch@icloud.com. That's GLENDA. S is in Sam, UCH at icloud.com. And I'll receive your emails and we will assign somebody to get back to you. Okay. I'd like to welcome Mark and say thank you for coming today. You have a wonderful organization and I'd like you to talk a little bit about that and what you offer, and then how people can take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Take it away.
Thanks, Glenda. Gosh, just listening to all the talk about 9/11. I woke up this morning, and I guess I had forgotten yesterday that it was gonna be 9/11 today, and I woke up this morning just a little bit downcast, just thinking, it kinda hit me. I'm getting off topic a little bit already. my kids, I have a 16-year-old and a 12-year-old. I heard you guys talking about your children. And it's kind of odd to me that they weren't even alive when that happened 20 years ago. It seems like it wasn't that long ago. And it's so vivid in my mind that day. But my name is Mark Artisan. You did a wonderful job with the pronunciation, Glenda. I mean, it rarely happens. So yay for you. Thank you. but I am from Hadley. And I am always kind of curious what people know about Hadley. We've been around for 100 years. I don't know if we can take just a second to share a little bit about if you've had any history with Hadley or an experience with Hadley, or you've ever heard of Hadley before. Does anybody want to share a little bit?
This is Betty Homer.
Hey, Betty.
Hi. Well, I believe that I started taking courses at Hadley in 1983.
Oh, wow.
When it was called the Hadley School for the Blind.
Yes, that was us.
And I've taken quite a lot of courses over the years, helped me with my professional certifications and growth. And now I'm taking a little rest. Recently, I did try to switch to UEB. So I took 3 of the 4 courses. I love it. You can, you know.
Yeah.
I have a lot of certificates, but it's been wonderful. It's always a rich source of information. Thank you.
Good, great. No, thank you for sharing. Anybody else?
I'll say something. This is Glenda, and I will say that I've been utilizing Hadley's iFocus series, teaches you how to use all the different technologies. I've also put links to those on my website so that people could benefit from it as well. And I like the pace. It goes, you know, nice and slow and steady for people to be able to learn. And I think it's a wonderful service.
Yeah, the Douglas Walker, he does those iPhone videos, the Apple videos for us. And I got to say, Glenda, like at least one time, throughout my presentations, inevitably somebody says, hey, can we get Douglas to come on instead of you next time? So I don't take it personal, though. He does an amazing job with those workshops. for those of you that are familiar with Hadley, I was just going to share a brief history. We've been around for 100 years. And back in 1920 is when our founder, William Hadley, got this whole thing started. He was blind himself. He actually lost his vision later in life. And it was due to illness. I don't know exactly what illness he had, but it was during the swine flu pandemic. So I think he may have contracted the swine flu or something like that. But he lost his vision within a matter of days. He went from being completely sighted to completely blind. And obviously it was a huge adjustment for him. He was a Chicago public school teacher. So he had to stop teaching at that point. But his passion in life, like what he really loved to do, was to read. And, you know, obviously his vision loss impacted that. And, but that was the one thing he couldn't imagine not being able to do. Like, he wanted to continue to read. And so he wanted to learn Braille to do that. And, back in 1920, not a lot of people were teaching Braille. He was in the Chicago area, Winnetka, Illinois, just north of Chicago, where we still are. But he couldn't find anybody to help him learn Braille. And so he ended up teaching himself. And I'm kind of dabbing my toe into Braille a little bit. I'm trying to learn a little bit, and I'm having a really hard time doing it. And I have a lot of people helping me do it. And I can't imagine, you know, just he took it upon himself and he taught himself Braille. And it wasn't easy, though. So he kind of developed this conviction that he wanted to help anybody who wanted to learn Braille. He wanted to help them learn Braille. And I guess the story goes, one night his neighbor, who is also his ophthalmologist, Dr. Brown, together they came up with this idea of Braille by mail. And so they were going to develop assignments, you know, curriculum. They're going to develop, you know, instructions, and they were going to mail them to anybody across the country that wanted to learn Braille. And a woman in Kansas kind of raised her hand and said, "I want to try this." And they sent her off the material. She mailed it back as she completed it, and it just kind of kicked off from there. And we've been teaching Braille ever since. We, you know, I think we'd be, at one point we had like 10,000 students that were learning Braille through Hadley across the world. So we can work with anybody across the world. And it's all done from a distance. It's all correspondence, the same way William Hadley started it back 101 years ago now. But throughout the time, throughout, you know, the years, we actually started doing other things as well. We started teaching other things outside of Braille. We developed, and it was known as Hadley School for the Blind, which we've changed the name a couple of times only because it's gotten confusing for some people. I think a lot of people, when they think school, they think like a brick and mortar, and they think like, can I come to your school and sit in your classroom? And that's never been what Hadley has been. We've always been correspondence from a distance. And so we wanted to see if we could change the name a little bit. And we went with Institute for a little while, which seemed, you know, kind of like an institution, which didn't, I don't know, it didn't have the kind of tone that we were hoping for. So we've just dropped it all. And we're just kind of going with Hadley now. I guess we're on a first name basis. So it's just Hadley. But throughout the years, we started to develop all these other courses that people could take. And there was, I mean, it was a wide range. We would have things like, you know, learning a marketing plan or developing a business plan or anatomy of the eye or, gosh, I don't know, bird songs or abacus or poetry. Or, I mean, we literally had a catalog that we would send out that was just like 100 different courses that we had available for people. And, you know, maybe about, is it, I don't know, maybe 6 years ago now, 5-6 years ago, we started kind of taking a look at what we were doing and, you know, kind of the impact that we were having in the community. And it was super interesting for us we learned a ton about ourselves kind of doing this little self-reflection. It was scary. I don't know if the last time you kind of just sat back and took note of what's going on in your life and where you're at and, you know, complete honesty. And it was a little scary, but like I said, we learned a ton about ourselves. One of the things we found out was that many people that were coming to Hadley were coming for Braille. Large majority, probably 90% of those who were coming to Hadley wanted to learn Braille through us. All of our other courses, we would get maybe one or two, three enrollments at the most each year in our other courses. And it was interesting. Many of the people that enrolled in those courses as well, they didn't complete them. We would have, you know, people that would start and then, you know, eventually they just kind of disappear. We wouldn't know what would happen. And so, so we thought that was interesting too. So we were wondering, like, you know, are these courses what people are looking for? Is this what people are wanting from Hadley? And so we set off and we, instead of kind of trying to guess, we asked, you know, as many people as we could. We sent out requests to all of our former students, our current students that we had at that time, and we started surveying them and asking, hey, can you help guide Hadley and help us go in a direction that can have a bigger impact? And about 500 people right off the bat said, yeah, I'm willing to help. And so we had like 500 advisors, and we've been continuing to ask since, and right now we have about 3,500 people that are former current students of Hadley, have some investment in Hadley, and are kind of help guiding us and directing us in what we're doing right now. But it was so interesting to hear them talk about their experience at Hadley. As we started sending out surveys, and part of my job is actually getting a chance to talk to these people directly and sitting down with them over the phone, or before pandemic, I would go in person with a lot of people and just hear their experience and their challenges and bring that back to Hadley. But it was so interesting. Like, one of the things that we heard was this idea of like even getting started with Hadley was super tough. Like, we, for our courses, you had to enroll in them, kind of similar to like an academic institution. And we made it, I guess we made it pretty tough to even enroll in our classes to get started. One of our courses, I always like to share this, had a 13-step process, I guess, that you had to complete before even getting started. Like, you had to write an essay, you had to be interviewed by the instructor, you had to go to the doctor, get an eye report. So, I mean, it was hoop after hoop after hoop. And we kept hearing, hey, is there any way we can make that easier just to get started? And another thing we heard was we graded everything. Again, much like a school, we everything had a grade associated with, like, every assignment, every course, you know, you get a letter grade. And it was interesting to hear some comments about our grading system and what kind of impact that was having and how that was affecting people. I always like to share these little stories of you know, what people shared with me. It kind of reminds me of what we do. But there's this woman, Barbara, who we sent her a survey. And she responded to it. She wrote a comment at the end of it that had nothing to do with the survey, but it was about our grading. And we weren't asking about our grading, but I thought it was interesting. So I reached out to her and I just wanted to understand it better. And she was sharing with me that she was new to vision loss, relatively new. And she was talking about like going to the doctor and getting this diagnosis of macular degeneration and just feeling so overwhelmed by that and not knowing what to do and not knowing what to expect. And her doctor really didn't offer her much suggestions and what to do now. Just kind of like, you know, that's what it is. And so she was overwhelmed. She didn't know what to do. She actually found us online. She found Hadley online, and she found a course that we offered called Adjusting to Vision Loss. And she thought, hey, you know, maybe I can find out what to expect with this. And she ended up giving her an F in the course. And she was sharing with me how devastating that was. Like, here, I'm overwhelmed. I don't know what to do. I'm scared, and I'm even failing at this, at losing my vision. So that was never that's never the intent of grading. That's never how we wanted it to turn out. Like, it's all about understanding, you know, where you can improve and things like that. But it was having this opposite effect. So grading was one thing. Our tone of voice was interesting. People kept talking about like their learning experience with Hadley, and they kind of remarked that it was more like sitting in a classroom and being lectured to. Like, it wasn't participating in the learning. It was more, you're telling me what I need to know and when I need to know it. One of our learners, one of our advisors actually, even commented, like, at times I felt like I was sitting in the front row and you were standing in front of me with the ruler about to slap my hand if I did something wrong. That was kind of the experience that people were having with Hadley. Mm. And so, you know, that was obviously news to us not the personality, not the tone that we were hoping for. And the other piece that we heard over and over again was the courses are great and they help me learn things, but they're not very practical. You know, I'm not able to use what I'm learning in the moment. And that's what people are asking for was, hey, can you help me in the moment with what I'm dealing with right now? You know, I have this challenge. I want to overcome it. Can you help me with that? And so that our courses usually took 7 to 10 months to complete, and they were very much academic. And so, you know, you would learn something, but it wasn't necessarily practical day-to-day help. And that's what people started asking us for. So we went on this journey of kind of retiring a lot of what we were doing, our courses, some of them that just weren't very popular. We cut up some of them that we wanted to keep into a little bit more bite-sized pieces. And then we started offering workshops and all this material in the form of workshops, 5 to 10 minute, quick little specific targeted workshops in a variety of different topics. We got rid of our grading system and we made the enrollment, like it's not necessarily enrollment, you sign up. We tried to make it as easy and quick as possible for Deducely, for people to get started whenever they want, you know, as quickly as they want to. So we went through this, and then our tone, that was the other piece. We really wanted to change this idea of being an academic kind of focus to more of a social service kind of focus. Like, we're here to help is what we're going for at Hadley, as opposed to we're here to teach. And so it's really more of a social service focus that we're aiming towards, as opposed to an academic one. And so we had this idea of kind of what we wanted to be, who we wanted to be, what we wanted to do. We just needed to know like what areas people were wanting help in. And so then we went back to our advisors and said, hey, where can we help? Like, what can we do that would be most helpful? And it was cool because we got a lot of feedback, but it was pretty consistent from a lot of people. Like, over and over again, we kept hearing the same kind of ideas and topics. And technology was something that came up. And Glenda, you mentioned our iFocus videos. That was one of the things we kind of kicked off first, because we kept hearing about, you know, can you help me with technology? Can you help me understand what's out there that can help me, you know, with the current vision I have? Like, what can help me, you know, see better with the vision I have is what a guy Daryl said, which I like the way he put that. And so we actually started reaching out to Apple, and we said, hey, can we work with you to develop instructional videos, like workshops, we're calling them, on all the features that you built into your products for those who are visually impaired? Like, Apple does a wonderful job of building in all these accessibility features into all their products. And we wanted to just take each one of them and say, hey, can we help people understand what they are, how to access them, and then how to use them? And they were thrilled. They were so on board, and they loved the idea. And so we started, Douglas Walker here at Hadley started making these videos, and he would take each kind of feature that was built into the iPhone and just kind of walk you through how to access it and what it is and what it does, and then how to use it. So things like magnifiers and zoom text and contrast and all these kind of pieces that are, you know, part of the iPhone, he wanted to walk you through how to use those. And we started with the iPhone, and then we went on to doing the same things with the iPad, the Apple Watch, the Apple TV. We're working on the MacBook right now. It's just a little bit different. Some of the features are different. So we're hoping to get that one out relatively soon. Workshops on the MacBook. But so we did all these. It's funny because Apple was so excited about this. They highlighted it one year. They brought us in one of their flagship stores and kind of had this celebration about it. But they also it was in the time that they were doing some celebrating coding, I guess, across the country and promoting coding with iOS software. And so they asked us to do a video on an app they have called Swift Playground. And I don't know if any of you have heard of it, but it's all about learning how to code with Apple software. And we did one of those videos too. It's not one of our more popular ones. I think we've had like 5 people watch it since we put it out there. But if you've ever wanted to learn how to code with Apple software, we got a workshop for that. So we after doing, you know, a lot of this work with Apple, we actually then moved on to reached out to Google to do similar things with all the Android products. So all the tablets, the phones that are all Android software. Using like TalkBack and double taps, triple taps, all that kind of thing. That's all part of the Android lines. And then similar stuff with Microsoft too. So we wanted to help walk people through, you know, some of the accessibility features that are built into Windows operating system and, you know, all the Office products like Word, Excel, PowerPoint, things like that. Just helping people kind of get around and navigate this different technology that's out there. And so we put together all these workshops, literally there's hundreds of them. And we have all this information on technology. And again, the idea was just to help walk people through how to use what's out there. It's interesting. It's another quick story. There's this woman, Julie, that I met, one of our advisors. She's actually from Liverpool, which I know I love her accent. So I call Julie whenever I can just to hear that English accent. I'm like all things English. I love like the Great British Baking Show and Harry Potter and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, Julie, Julie's great. She was sharing with me that her granddaughter had actually given her an iPhone. Like, I think she traded hers in and got a new one and gave it to Julie. And she said she just didn't want to have anything to do with it. Like, she put it on her desk and she's like, I would just avoid it. But my granddaughter kept coming over and said, hey, have you tried this? And she just kept pushing it. And she said, And the way she described it was kind of, I thought it was really cool. She said every time she picked it up and felt that flat screen, she felt like she was in like the middle of a field and had no idea which direction she was facing, which way she should be going. She said it was just so scary to her. She just touched this and felt just completely lost. And so she said one day she was sitting there and she looked at it and she said, okay, we either got to become friends or you're going out the window. And so she got on these workshops that we do, that Douglas does for Hadley. And she's like, you know what it did for, she's like, it helped me get around the phone and it started to put like walls around me is what she said. And she's like, I could start to feel my way through this phone, through these walls. And I realized what these walls did is they led me down this hall into a big room where all my friends were and all these fun things I love doing. Or so she's like, it just opened up a new world to me, which is kind of the idea. You know, take what's out there and help walk people through how to use it and how to benefit from it. So we had technology and we did a lot of that. But the other thing that we kept hearing over and over again was help with just everyday life. just all the challenges that come day to day with vision loss, the things that just become a little bit more difficult. People are saying, hey, is there any way you can help me figure out how to match my socks? Is there any way you can help me figure out how to not pour hot liquids on my fingers every day? Can you help me figure out which is the conditioner and which is the shampoo? Because they look exactly the same. They feel exactly the same. It's the same people who make it, you know, and all these little things that just become more difficult. And so we have a lot of vision rehab therapists that work at Hadley and teachers that work at Hadley. And so we kind of put their brain power together and try to come up with, little tips, little tricks, hints that we might be able to offer, just for day-to-day things that are more challenging, you know, just something that you may not have thought of, but, can make a huge difference. Like for example, with the shampoo, maybe putting a rubber band on the shampoo bottle and not on the conditioner. So, when you reach for it, that's the shampoo bottle, or, just simple things that you aren't that big of a deal, perhaps, but you just might not have thought of that can make a huge difference. And so, so we started developing all these different workshops in what we call our daily living area. And it's, things like, safety in the kitchen, or cooking. We have one on cooking, and there's a workshop on, being safe in the kitchen or using knives safely or pouring hot liquids or using the stovetop and oven or telling when the food is fully cooked, things like that. We have one on clothing. And it's like organizing your closet or, doing laundry, getting stains out, things like that. We have one on home repair. We have a series on men's care, women's care, putting on makeup, navigating unfamiliar places, going out for dinner, using a guide, going up and down the stairs. I mean, anything that we could possibly think of that we had some suggestions of ways to help, we developed a workshop for it. And we just wanted to make sure that we're trying to help as much as possible with, kind of this area of daily living. And this actually, there's another advisor that, again, I like to tell these stories, but I can't remember her name, Sharon. One of our advisors, she had called me and we were on the phone together talking about her experience with Hadley. And she said that she was actually quite accomplished. She was a psychiatrist. And so she, had a very successful career her whole life. And later in life, she started to lose her vision. And she said she was scared and, it's progressing pretty quickly the way that she was talking about it. And she said, she shared that she said, as her vision got less, her world got smaller. That's kind of what she said. She's like, I was starting to like, it was hard for me to go out to dinner. She's like, my husband and I always used to take a walk every evening. That was getting more challenging to do. She's like, I was pretty much staying in the home all the time. And she's like, and as I kind of lost almost all my vision, I ended up just staying in my bedroom all the time. And she she's like, it was safe. It was familiar. And that's just what I did. I stayed in my bedroom. And she's like, I jumped on Hadley. Somebody had recommended Hadley to me, and I wanted to take a course on anatomy of the eye that you had. She kind of wanted to learn what was going on physically with her eyes. And she said, we didn't offer it anymore, but she's like, instead I found this workshop on doing my laundry. And she's like, I realized, okay, if I just safety pin my socks together before I put them in the wash, then I don't have to sort them when I get done. And I'm not wearing mismatched socks, like a brown one and a blue one. And she's like, you know, it's just so simple. I never thought of it, but it made such a big deal to me. She's like, and so she started taking more and more workshops. She's like, it really inspired me to try more. She's like, I started getting confident with my laundry. So then I started getting back in the kitchen. I started learning how to do that again. And I started, you know, using my husband to go out for walks as a guide and things like that. And so she says, it just changed my life, which is, it's wonderful for us to hear, because that's the whole idea. It's just helping people gain confidence and build confidence so they can continue to try new things and be more independent. So daily living was another area. Two more that kind of people highlighted for us. One was community, which I thought was super interesting. You know, here we are, we're a distance learning organization, and people are asking us to help connect them with each other. You know, they wanted to be together. One of our advisors, he kind of talked about like, you know, I got friends, I got family, and they're great, but they don't understand what I'm going through. They don't get it, and they can't possibly get it. And he's like, I just need to be around others who just know what's happening and what I'm going through. And he's like, can you help me connect with others who are also visually impaired? And, you know, we didn't know how to do it. We're still trying to figure it out, I think. You know, I don't think we've got this one down at all. And I think there's areas that we're trying to figure out how we can help connect people. But one of the things we started doing was something called discussion groups. And what they are is they're an opportunity once a month to jump on a Zoom call, just like this, and talk with others who are, you know, who are also visually impaired about a topic that you might find interesting. So we, you know, we have different topic areas. One of them is technology, again, because that was such a big thing for a lot of people. So we started this group called Tech It Out. And Ricky Enger here at Hadley, she hosts this one, and she's like all into podcasts. Like she's, you know, she's got one of those radio voices. And so I just think she does a great job with these discussion groups, with this one in particular. But Tech It Out is, you know, once a month she'll jump on and she'll introduce something technology related. You know, I don't, Alexa, Siri, maybe something like that, or you know, smart devices or fitness devices, or I don't know, something technology related. She'll introduce and she'll talk about, you know, how she uses it, things she likes about it, challenges that she has with it. And then she just opens it to the group, and people can share their thoughts. They can talk about their experience. They can ask questions, answer questions. So it's just an opportunity once a month to jump on a Zoom call and be with others and talk about a topic that you might find interesting. So technology is one of them. We also have one for Braille, and that's typically our students, our Braille students are joining this one together and kind of talking about their experience and what they're going through with the learning Braille. But we have once a month a Braille one. We have a Step and Go, which is kind of exercise and staying. It started out, I think, as the idea of like, you know, getting around, like public transportation and airports and train stations and stuff like that. But I think a lot of times they just want to talk about vacations that they've been on or bucket list places that they want to go and things like that. So it's a little bit of old. Of our travel talk, we have a writer's circle, which is people sharing poetry and short stories. I jump on that one every now and then just to hear some poetry or stories that people are writing. They're super creative. We have a book nook we just started, actually. It's kind of a book club. I think the first one they did was just, what kind of summer reading have you been doing? And then I think the idea is to find a book each month and, I don't know, you know, a book club, talk about a book that everybody chooses. What else do we have? What am I missing? So we have our book nook, we have our travel talk, we have a resource roundtable. And so each month we'll find a resource that's out there and we'll talk about how we're we'll talk about what it is, how, you know, how to access it, things like that. So we have our resource roundtable. And then I think the last one is I'm drawing a blank now. So it's all about like painting. It's crafting circle. That's it. I couldn't find that word, crafting, but it's our crafting circle. And it's, you know, for those types of, that's probably why I can't remember, because I don't have a creative bone in my body. So I've never joined that one, but it's those folks that are, you know, sewing and knitting and painting and all that cool stuff that I can't do. But again, these are just Zoom calls, and it's kind of our first attempt to connect people virtually and just have an opportunity to talk about a topic that you might be passionate about and with other people who are in a similar situation. Now they are Zoom calls. I know that can be tricky for some people. Zoom has this feature. I don't know if you guys are aware of it, but it's called a call out feature that we've started using as well. And, you know, some folks are saying it was tricky to dial that in phone number and then get that access code, put that in quick enough before it drops you. So if you want, we can actually call you like 10, 15 minutes before the meeting. We just call you from the meeting, and all you got to do is pick up your phone, hit the number one, and you'll be brought right into the meeting. So it's kind of a cool feature that we're hoping will make it even easier for people to join these who want to. So our discussion groups is our kind of first stab at community. So we've got the community, and then the technology and daily living workshops that we have. And then the last area I thought was kind of interesting is people wanted to really be up to date on what's going on in the vision field, like what's going on with research for certain eye conditions, what's going on with treatment for certain eye conditions, and just what's happening, what are people doing? They wanted to hear from the professionals. And so we started something we're calling Hadley Presents, and it's just a podcast. So it's, you know, we interview somebody like usually twice a month, and then we kind of edit it out and then put it out there on the podcast world. So like anywhere you listen to podcasts, like Spotify or I think Apple has one just called Podcast, an app called Podcast. And I listen to it on my Alexa. I just say, hey, Alexa, play the most recent Hadley Presents. And she'll just start, or I say play Hadley Presents. She starts the most recent, just kind of keeps going until I'll tell her to stop. But we've got some cool ones out. There's one we did with a glaucoma specialist that was talking about some treatment that they were doing in their clinic. And we did interview a retina specialist who was talking about like some research methods and things like that. We started finding people that we thought were super interesting. Like, for example, just this last month, we put one out there for this guy named Chad Neesmith. And he is a champion, or I guess he's a world champion blind golfer, which is super cool. And I just, it was so neat to hear his story. He was an athlete growing up in high school, dreams of playing for University of Alabama and then going on to the NFL as a quarterback. And I guess he started to lose his vision. And he knew it was pretty serious when he was in a game one time and he said he got hit so hard it knocked him out, but he just didn't see the person there. Like it was his peripheral vision was pretty much gone and he just couldn't see anymore. It's like, I knew I had to stop playing sports at that time, but then his wife encouraged him to try golf. It was just a cool story. But you know, it's just the idea of like, we had another guy, John Bramblett. He's a blind painter. And he did a great job with his story. He talked about like his passion for painting, but how it's so much different now. He went from being sighted to being blind and continuing to paint. And he said, it's just such a different way that I'm able to express myself now than I ever thought I would be able to now that I don't have my vision. And so it's just a cool story that he shared. Anyway, we've got about maybe 40, 45 episodes of our podcast out there for people to listen to as well. So we took all this information and we had all these workshops and things like that. And we launched our website in July of 2020. So during this whole pandemic, we launched a new website. But that was after, years of trying to, and probably 50 or 60 different versions of the site. To try and get it to a place where we felt like we could kind of show it off to the world. But one of the things we wanted to do with our website was to really help people find what they're looking for as quickly as possible, as easily as possible as well. And so one of the things we wanted to do was just get you started and kind of guide you through. So it's kind of navigate you through the site to, you know, the topics that we have available. So right as you land on our homepage, hadley.edu, there's this big button on the front that just says get started. And our thought was, you know, people who have enough vision to see that, they'll find get started and they'll realize, okay, that's where I get started. If you're on a screen reader, I think it's like, you know, 7 tabs and you're right there, or like 3 B buttons and or maybe it's 4 B buttons. You're right there at that get started place. And so once you select that, first thing we want to do is walk you through how to set up the site that's kind of best for you and your vision. And so right from the get-go, we're going to try and set the contrast. And you can choose 4 options. There's, you know, right where you can leave it like it is, like black text on a white background, or you can reverse that, black text on or white text on a black background, or you can go black text on a or yellow text on a black background, or yellow text on a blue background are some of the options. And once you select that, it's going to change it for the entire site. So whatever contrast works better for you, You can select that and it'll change it everywhere you go on the rest of the site. And if it's not important to you, if that's not helpful to you, there's a skip option too, so you can just move right past that and then go on to setting the font size. And again, you can keep it right where it's at, or you can increase it 100% or 200%. And again, once you select one of those, it's going to change it everywhere. All the images, all the boxes, all the headings, all the text, obviously, will all increase to whatever size that you prefer. And again, if that's not helpful to you, you can just skip, or you can just kind of move past that as well. But then we take you right to our topic areas, the areas that we have available for you to learn. And again, that's like our technology area, daily living. As I mentioned, we have Braille that we continue to teach here at Hadley. We have a working category, which is kind of, you know, business, like employment skills and things like that. We have a recreation, just fun things to be able to do. And then we have adjusting to vision loss. And we just actually put our first series. We just created our first series for our adjusting to vision loss topic area, which we're getting some really great feedback about, actually. So once you select one of those topic areas, say, you know, daily living, for example, you're gonna be shown all of our workshop series that we have available. And so that's like our clothing series or our cooking series or, you know, our makeup series or something like that. And once you select a series that you're interested in, you'll be given all the workshops that are available in that series. So for example, in our cooking series, we have a workshop on using knives safely. And so once you say that's the workshop you want, you can just click that option and you'll be taken to our workshop page. And then you'll be given a 1 minute sample actually of that workshop. After a minute, our chief operating officer, Ed Haynes, will interrupt and he'll start talking to you about signing up at Hadley. And it's a pretty easy process. Once he's done talking, after about a minute, you'll be taken right to a sign up page, and you can use either Gmail, Yahoo, or Facebook as a social sign up if you want. And if you select one of those, it'll just link it to the username and password for that account and use that to log you in to our site. So you can use one of those, or you can just put in any email or any password that you want. And then we just ask you three questions. We ask you your name, first and last name. We ask you your relation to vision loss. Is it you personally? Are you a friend or family member of someone who's visually impaired, or are you a professional working with somebody who's visually impaired? So what's your relation to vision loss? And then how'd you hear about Hadley? And that's it. Once you answer those questions, you're signed in, you're signed up, and you have full access to everything that we offer. One of the cool things about signing up too is once you're signed in, it keeps you signed in. So you can log yourself out if you want, but it defaults to keeping you signed in. So every time you come back, that font size, that contrast, everything that you set is set for you. So it'll be the same every time you come back. And also when you return, you don't go back to our homepage, that one that has get started on it. You come back to what we call a personalized homepage. And so at the top, it'll say, welcome back, Mark, if your name's Mark. if you were in the middle of a workshop, a series, and you kind of stepped away, it'll be right there at heading that says continue, and you can pick up right where you left off really easily. If there's a discussion group that you really enjoy, you can sign up for an alert for that discussion group, and it'll go right to your homepage. It'll be a heading that says your groups, and everyone that you get alerts for will be listed there with the next time and date and the topic and things like that. So we're building into this homepage features like completed or if you've already completed a workshop, it'll be listed right there. So you can easily find ones and keep going back to those to kind of refresh your memory. And then other topic areas. So we're trying to figure out different features for this, but it'll be personalized to you. So every time you come back, you'll come back to that homepage that's personalized for you. The other piece is once you're logged in, you have full access to all of our workshops, then also our staff too. On every workshop page, we have a heading that says Ask the Experts. And there'll be a phone number and an email address. And if you have a question about that workshop, like anything that doesn't make sense or it's confusing or just that you loved it and want to share that feedback, you can call this number and talk directly with the folks here at Hadley who developed that workshop. And so all of our we call them our learning experts. So our staff are available at any time that you need them. But any questions that you have, pick up the phone and you'll get one of those, four or five people that worked on that workshop to be able to talk to them about it, ask them any questions. So again, the sign up, we've tried to make easy and get you through as quickly as possible to what you want to learn. But the other piece that's really important to us about signing up is if we can show that a certain number of people that are using the site are visually impaired themselves, it really helps us with different funding sources. Like we can apply for different grants and get federal funding and things like that, which really does allow us to keep everything free of charge. So there's no cost to anything that we do here at Hadley, but part of the reason we're able to do that is because of some of the funding sources that are available because people are signing up on our site and becoming what we call learners here at Hadley. So a couple other things. So, Braille is something, again, that we've continued to do for 100 years here at Hadley. And one of the things we've recognized when we were kind of doing this self-reflection was that a lot of people that were coming to us to learn Braille actually had some sight. There's a lot of low vision folks who wanted to learn Braille for just kind of everyday use, like, you know, which button to push on the elevator or on the ATM or you know, which bathroom they're making sure they're going into. And just like simple things that they wanted to be able to do. Or they wanted to learn Braille because they were anticipating further vision loss and wanted to, you know, kind of start to learn Braille before that happened. We also had a lot of professionals that were coming to us and wanting to learn Braille to continue to work with and help the folks that they were working with. And so we developed a new, what we call Braille for the Sighted Learner series and it's on our website. And it's really kind of fun. We were getting a lot of great feedback about it. People are saying that they're learning their alphabet in like a matter of hours and they're learning how to, just familiarize themselves with Braille and having fun doing it. It's kind of like a game. You're dragging and dropping things. I'm getting rewarded for answers and things like that. But you can learn all of your alphabet, your punctuation, numbers, currency, all directly from our website if you have enough vision to make that work. We also continue to do Braille the same way we always have for those that want to learn by touch. So for tactile learners, you just give us a call and we will send you out all the information and we'll connect you with our instructors here at Hadley to work with you to help learn Braille by touch as well. And it's actually, we're in the process right now of really re-looking at how we're teaching Braille for our tactile learners. And it's really cool. I'm doing some testing myself with some folks out there on some ideas that we have. And it's really exciting to see how excited people are getting about some of the things we're doing with Braille. So that'll hopefully be out in December as our goal is to get to launch our new Braille, tactile Braille courses, workshops out there as well. Okay, so Braille is also what we're doing. Lastly, I just want to mention also that we know not everybody's online, not everybody has access to computers, or it's not easy for many folks to be online. And so all of this stuff that we have available is also available through the mail. So any one of our workshops that we have, we can mail those out in large print, in Braille, or in audio. And for audio, we can put it on like a thumb drive, like a flash drive for you, or we can just put it on a cartridge that works with the digital talking book player, the National Library's digital talking book player. So if that's easier for you, all you have to do is give us a call, and we can get any one of our workshops mailed out to you. And obviously our discussion groups are all just, available through the phone, and our podcasts are available through like any kind of technology where you listen to podcasts. So almost all of our content is actually available for anybody that's offline as well through the mail or through the phone or technology. So I just wanted to, we call it our learning library, and we'll send out a binder with the first batch of workshops that we send you. And it's got the different tabs for our topic areas. And so we'll try to help start you get being organized, but those are yours to keep. You don't send them back. The whole idea is that you get to go back to those as often as you need, as many times as you need. And so all that information is yours to keep to build your own library. Okay. I'm going to stop for a second, take a breath. I should have warned you. When I start talking, I sometimes just don't stop until somebody tells me. I always say I'm like an Energizer bunny, it's like it just keeps going until somebody turns it off. But I know I shared a ton of information with you guys. Does anybody have any questions?
Yeah, do you have rolling enrollment in your stuff, or is it personalized?
I'm not sure I understand. Rolling enrollment.
Well, is it like set up in courses, or where it's a set time, dates that it starts and ends?
Yeah, no, it's all just available on our site at any time that you need it. And so really all you're doing is signing up on the site, and you have full access to everything that we offer at any time that you want it, day or night. And so it's kind of like a YouTube a little bit. Like, we have these workshops that are, you know, 5 to 10 minute segments on instructions on a variety of different areas. And so the staff here at Hadley is available Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time. But for any of our content, it's just available at any time that you want it, anytime you need it. All you have to do is sign up to have full access to it. And that reminds me, so we launched our site in July of last year with 100 workshops. And wow. And right now I think we have about 450 workshops that are out there. And so we continue every week, we're adding new content. And a lot of it is coming from people who are on our site. They're making suggestions. On every workshop page, you can make a suggestion. There's a little button for that. And so if you have a thought that we didn't have, if you have an idea that we missed, just let us know. We love hearing some feedback about other workshop ideas. But yeah, there's about 450 of them out there right now.
Wow. Using Instacart, were you using speech?
Sorry?
Using Instacart? You know what? Instacart is an app or website?
I don't know what Instacart is. Is it like for purchasing products?
Purchasing groceries from local grocery stores. It's all across the country.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I know those delivery services. So are you suggesting like maybe a workshop on how to use Instacart?
Yeah. How to use Instacart. Yeah. Because that lets you shop a variety of stores in your area. It's not like a specific store.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very cool. I love that idea. We definitely don't have a workshop for Instacart, but yeah, things like ideas like this, obviously we didn't think of everything. There's tons that we're missing. And so we just want to continue to make workshops and provide help for those folks that want it.
Betty, you have your hand up.
I do.
Okay. I thought I heard Betty. Joyce, go ahead.
I'm just curious, who are some of your funding sources?
Yeah, we have an endowment that is a significant endowment that we do live off of that was actually back in the 50s. We almost folded our doors. And so a women's board in the town that we were located in, Winnetka, Illinois, the couple of women pulled together and they developed a women's board that was strictly focused on fundraising. And they rebuilt this endowment that we had that kind of sustains us. And so we live off of that, but we also have quite a few donors. We have some generous donors that have, loved Hadley and continue to give to us. So that's part of it. And then, to be honest, I don't know what the funding source, I'm not in the development department, but we have grant writers that work at Hadley and they're always searching for opportunities for more funding and things like that. And I guess they're pretty good at their job, which I'm grateful for.
It sounds like a very successful organization.
Yeah,
well, I do have a question.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah. Go ahead.
This is Betty Pennell. Hey, are any of your courses accredited? Like, you can get professional recognition for having taken the course, like a certificate or some kind of college credit?
Yeah, great question. So I always get these acronyms wrong. So ACVREP, is that right? The accreditation they all of our Braille for the Sighted Learner series, you can get credit hours, CE credit, earned credit units for. But then also we started to bundle a lot of our other workshops. And so if you take a bundle of workshops, you can get a certain amount of hours for that. Each workshop is pretty short, usually less than 10 minutes. And so you have to take a variety, like a combination of them, to make that 1 hour of credit that you're earning. And so, by all means, we do have a bundle of workshops that you can take in addition to all of our Braille series are available for credits.
And that's for continuing education credit.
Right. Exactly. Sorry. Yeah.
That's great. Thank you.
Yeah. Rita? Yeah.
Hi there. Thank you for your presentation. I thought you gave us a wealth of information, which I've thoroughly enjoyed being updated on. I'm curious, where is Hadley located? It's been a while since I've connected with you guys. So where are you Where's your physical plan?
Well, so we are in we're in Winnetka, Illinois, which is just up the lake from Chicago. So we're about maybe, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes north of Chicago, just along the lake. And actually, it's kind of neat. I've been in Hadley for a little over 3 years now. And so everything that we've been doing is completely, you know, I've started right when we started doing all these new things, which has been super fun and super exciting. And one of the other things that we did is we actually gutted our whole building, our physical building, and renovated it. It hadn't been touched since the 50s, and it looked like it. So it needed a lot of work, but we turned it into a museum, and which is really cool. So it's a little bit of a museum of Hadley, but a history of Hadley, but also just of like Braille and things like that. And some of the, so it's really, it was done really well, but our physical place is in Winnetka, Illinois. Now we do have a lot of staff that work remotely though. We have about maybe 30 or so people that work at the Hadley building in Winnetka, but maybe about another 25, 30 people. Maybe it's more than that. We have about 100 staff total, but work just around the country. And so they work.
Do you employ a lot of people who are blind, low vision, or have other disabilities?
Yeah, I would say the majority of people at Hadley are visually impaired or blind, you know, blind and visually impaired. So I don't know what the number is, but yeah, particularly a lot of those who are creating the content and hosting our discussion groups and things like that.
That's great. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for giving us some time on this Saturday.
Oh yeah, of course. My pleasure. One of the other things this whole idea of community that we're trying to build out. One of the things that we've been hearing from different people is, they like the discussion groups, like our Tech It Out. We sometimes get 200 people on that call, our Tech It Out one, which is kind of crazy. It's fun. But they also are asking, one of the things that's happening is that our smaller ones, that maybe there's 10 or 15 people that join on a regular basis, are starting to use them more like a support group than they are gathering information. Like they just want time to connect with each other, regardless of what the topic is. And so that's one of the things we're starting to think about is trying to find a way that we can provide virtual support groups for those that are interested in it, offering more emotional support and things like that. The other thing we want to do is build out what we call a mentor match program. And so for those that might be interested in connecting with somebody who, has experienced vision loss their whole life, or, is maybe a little bit further down the road, maybe we can connect them with a mentor, you know, somebody who's new to vision loss or just needs help in a particular area, connect them with somebody who's kind of been there and done that. So like a mentor match program is something that we're trying to figure out as well. So those are to come.
Good. Anybody else?
Yes. This is the other Joyce that's here. I have a friend who started the Braille course, but I'm not sure if she started Braille for the sighted or the tactile Braille, but she said she had gone through 4 workbooks and still hadn't even really learned the alphabet. Which course was that?
Yeah, so our tactile series, she would have ordered our tactile series, which is learning by touch. And really the idea was that, we first wanted to be able to teach just even the basic like hand movements and kind of scanning and things like that before really diving into learning the letter. So it's the idea of, getting familiar with the dots and how they feel and the hand movements and things like that. That's kind of our tactile series. It's our first, of course, tactile. It's a literature one, Braille literacy one is what it's called. And so there's 4 steps in our Braille series, Braille literacy 1, 2, 3, and 4. And so by the end of 3 is when the hope is that you're becoming a little bit more proficient in reading Braille and get your alphabet down and things like that. That's part of what we're re-looking at here at Hadley is how we're introducing Braille to people and how we're helping them even get started with Braille. What we found was 50% of those who enrolled in our Braille courses, we never heard from them again. Like they would start Braille literacy 1 with us and they'd never turn an assignment. We'd try to reach out to them. We'd never hear back from them. So that's half the people that started. And then in addition, those who completed our literacy 1, only half of those folks went on to literacy 2. And so we saw these big drop-offs from enrollment and then even completing our first one. And so we wanted to see if there's a way that maybe we can make this a little bit more engaging, you know, maybe a little bit more rewarding and things like that. So that's what we're working on right now. And that'll all be, again, December is the goal for our launching our new Tactel series.
Okay, so that was going to be my follow-up question. So essentially, if somebody wanted to learn Braille now, like myself, wait until December.
We can get you started, but yeah, you're going to get the old material. And so it's, if you're willing to wait, I think it's, you're going to, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. It'll probably be a good, I'm excited about the new things that we're doing with Braille. I'm not a part of that team at all, but I've got to test it with people. So, and we're getting some great feedback. People are like having fun. They're enjoying it. And by the time even the first workbook is done, almost everybody has their A, B, and C learned. So we're going to do it in chunks of alphabet, like A through J will be, you know, one series and things like that. So, I would wait if you're able to hold off.
Okay. Thank you.
This is Glenda. People need, as a teacher of the visually impaired, people need tangible outcomes really fast.
Yeah.
keep them engaged, you know, so, while it's really good to teach concepts and everything else, they need something to walk away with pretty quickly to say, okay, I now have the things that when I get into an elevator, I know what those bumps are now. So it's something that they can take away.
If you're spending too much time on
prepping, you're going to lose people.
No, we could have used you 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 20 years ago, Glenda. we've been doing it that way. And I think it's been really frustrating for people. The other piece that we've learned is frustrating is that digital talking book player, if you're not familiar with it and you've never used it before, it's hard sometimes to get through like chapters and things like that, which is the way we have like the bookshelf, I guess, on on the cartridges. And that's a little tricky for people. So that's another piece that we're doing is trying to figure out how can we introduce the audio component to the instruction. And so we've got some on our website, you know, we can put the audio there for those that are able to get to the website and use it. But we're also testing like phone, just using the phone to do it. Like you call into Hadley and you can just press, you know, a number to go to. Yeah. And so that's what we're testing right now. I get to do that next week, actually, is to see how this phone system might work for audio instruction instead of the cartridge and relying on NLS for the player and things like that.
Well, I mean, it's also interesting. I mean, it's a common problem for teaching assistive tech that, you know, there are people that make screen reading software that they give you the sheet for what keystrokes do what, but you have to know how to read tables to be able to use it.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's not real helpful.
right. No, that's exactly right. Yeah. So yeah, those are some of the things that, but you're right. I think that kind of immediate reward or relatively quick reward just wasn't happening with the way we were teaching Braille before. And I think it was frustrating for a lot of people.
That's good. Let me see our time here.
Oh,
okay. We've been going for about an hour now. How much more time would you like?
Oh, I'm fine either way. I was hoping if there's any questions, I'm happy to stay on for as long as anybody needs me to.
Okay. Anybody else have a question or comment?
Glenda?
Yes, Betty?
Betty Homer. I had a question and a comment.
Hey.
So my question is, who would I contact to be a mentor? I've been visually impaired since I'm 7, and I work as a blind rehabilitation therapist for 4 years.
Sorry, were you? I didn't know if you were done.
Well, that was my question.
Okay. Yeah, we don't have the program yet, and so right now we just don't feel like we have the staff to be able to do it right, and so we're hiring actually right now to see if we can find somebody that can develop a mentor match program for us and also be someone that can kind of run and lead these virtual support groups for us. So. So we don't have either one of those in place yet, but gosh, once we get off the ground, get it kind of started, we're going to definitely need people that are willing to be mentors. Cause I know that we're probably going to have quite a few mentorees. we're getting a lot of requests for it. So, So I certainly appreciate that. But I would probably say, hopefully by the end of the year, we might have a little bit more idea what that's going to look like and what that'll be. So please reach back out.
Okay. And here's my comment. Answers.
Okay.
So when I was 23, my vocational rehab counselor gave me the Illinois Braille series from 1960 and said, here, you need to learn how to read and write Braille so that by the end of the summer, you can take the exam to teach it. So in 30 days, I taught myself, but I taught myself a lot of bad habits. So when I decided to do UEB, I did take literacy 1, 2, and 3, all three of those. And I found that 1 and 2, even though I'd been using Braille for many years, but I had never had any formal instruction by a professional.
Yeah.
And I found it was very, very informative and very helpful. And it helped me very much to improve my tracking and using two hands. I learned to be a one-handed Braille reader because nobody told me that.
Yeah.
A slower way to read Braille. So anyway, I thought those courses are excellent, personally.
Oh, good.
And the only reason I didn't go on to Braille Literacy 4 is that it's 24 lessons, and I didn't want somebody every 30 day sending me an email saying, where is your So I'm not ready for that yet, but when it gets cold, I'll start. So
they stay on top of things, don't they?
You're so welcome. Hadley, a lot.
The instructors stay on top of their students, don't they?
Yes, but that's okay. But I'm one of those people who does like the more academic approach to learning things. But, you know, skills are not always, don't always lend themselves to being an academic course, like, you know, like Braille.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, there we have gotten quite a bit of feedback from those who loved our traditional courses, and we're sad to see them go. And we totally get it and understand. We had a high school program at one point that it was very sad to see that go. And we got a lot of people that, you know, were a little bit upset about that we didn't have that anymore, but we didn't have people enrolling in them. And we just thought, hey, we can't do both. So let's just ask where people want us to go. And this is kind of the feedback we got. So I don't know what'll happen in the future, but we're trying right now just to respond to feedback.
Sounds the new workshops and little podcasts, that sounds great. I'm going to have to go look them up.
Yeah, yeah. Tell us what you think. I'd love to hear what you think of them.
Well, I get a lot of emails from Julie.
Yeah, our president.
So when I get those, I usually will click on those, and they're fun and they're useful.
Good. Glad to hear that.
Maybe we'll have it.
Anybody else?
Yeah, Glenda.
Yes.
I have a question for Mark. I will. My name is Karen Serkin. Mark.
Karen.
And you can hear me?
Yeah.
I can, yes.
Okay, good. As someone that's relatively new to low vision, it's hard for me to say this. I'm 70 years old. And
what is that?
Was that a dinosaur?
Where we just closed the door, we just deafened us.
Yeah, really?
So,
okay, Karen, go ahead. We interrupted Karen.
Okay.
That's okay. So I started to become visually impaired about five years ago. And listening to you today, I am just so impressed with all this information. However, it's a little overwhelming. So if you could just, you have a suggestion as far as someone like me that is just starting out with Hadley, is there a suggestion as to what to start out with?
Yeah, Karen, I would suggest our Adjusting to Vision Loss series. I think, you know, Douglas Walker, who also does our iPhone video, our Apple videos, and some of our technology videos, he actually hosts this adjustment series that we put out there. And he's visually impaired himself too.
Hold on one second.
Yeah. It's hard for me to hear.
Whoever is opening and closing a door, please mute yourself. I don't know who you are, and I'd have to go through each one and mute. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. Yeah, I was just saying that Douglas Walker, he's visually impaired himself. I think he has RP, but he does these adjusting to vision loss series, and he's just very honest and very open about, you know, his adjustment and what that meant for him. And so we have this workshop called Coming to Grips with Vision Loss. And then we have another workshop that's called, I don't remember the name of it, but the idea is like being able to talk to your friends and family about your vision loss, suggestions on ways to do that. And then there's another one on like how to ask for help, but then also how to tell people you don't need help and things like that. And then gaining confidence and boosting your skills. And so these, I would suggest, Karen, maybe starting with there and seeing what you think of those. And then
because there's many topics, it's like I could do all of them, but it's like, you know, I can only do certain one thing at a time.
Yeah, well, I would also maybe suggest like think about the things that are more challenging for you. Like, is there something in your daily routine that you find is more challenging than others? And then maybe in our daily living area, you can, if it's pouring hot liquids, or maybe it's like doing your laundry is more challenging, or sorting your socks, things like that. So maybe if you find something that you identify that's a little bit more challenging day to day, maybe start there in our daily living. Or, you know, you have an iPhone and you can't figure out how to turn the magnifier on, you know, we've got a workshop for that. So maybe just think about things that are challenging and might be helpful. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, very much.
And at the end of the day, Karen, you can just call our 800 number and the gals in our help desk, you don't even need to know what you're calling for or what workshop you want. They can just talk to you about what we have available and come up with something that we think might be helpful, and we'll just send it out to you. If you don't like it, you can throw it away or store it away and call us and get another one.
This is so amazing. And I just have to thank you and all your constituents for doing this. It's just amazing to me. I have a hard time asking for help. So, you know, I've been so independent my whole life. And not really knowing sometimes what to even ask.
Right.
You know, so this is great. So thank you.
You're welcome. Absolutely.
Somebody raised their hand. I couldn't hear who it was.
Sarita.
Okay.
Mark, if you don't mind, I loved your response to Karen's question. And that's something for someone who, as she described herself, who's recently become low vision. And all of a sudden you're thrown into this world of possibilities and you're like, oh my gosh, where do I start?
Right.
Betty Homer, who has been a mentor of mine for many years and got me started in the field of aging, will recognize a term that I'm going to use as it relates specifically to aging. We talk about people having an excess disability. And in that context, we want to identify for the older adult if there are any prominent challenges in their life that can be remediated, eliminated, modified right away.
Yeah.
Because if you can take care of that, then you can focus on some of the bigger prominent challenges that you have. So for you, Karen, I might suggest that if you want to keep a journal, either if you can write it down or if you can just in your mind, just, you know, during the course of your day, think about some of the challenges that you go through. Think about some of the things that you may wish you could do by yourself more independently, and just make a note of those things and then see if you can prioritize them. And maybe your husband might even, because he's there with you, observe some things that you may have just let fall on the side. And oftentimes when we incur the vision loss, we also put down things that we felt, you know, committed to or had a passion for. It could be a hobby that you might have had, and all of a sudden, because your vision isn't the way it used to be, you stop doing it. It could be even something as much as getting out with your friends, going out socially by yourself and just interacting with people or making phone calls, staying connected. Those are things. But all of these things really impact how you feel about yourself too. And that's why it's so important to be in touch with what those things are in your life that are stumbling blocks to you becoming and regaining functionality to the fullest extent that you can. Keeping in mind that what you do to obtain full functionality to the extent that you can is specific to you. It's like writing a prescription, and you don't have to compare yourself to anyone or anything else on this call. And I'll use myself as an example. Glenda and I have been friends for years. If I tried today or tomorrow to become the computer guru that she is, I would depress myself. I don't do that. I leave it alone. But I have other strengths that perhaps she doesn't have. So that's why you have people in your life, because you know who to go to for various things. But just go easy on yourself. Don't beat yourself up. Don't overwhelm yourself. Take it one day at a time. And just identify some things that you might want to sharpen or new skills that you want to obtain. And it'll come. You got time. That's my two cents.
No, that's great. It reminds me of the Sharon, I think it was the name of Sharon that I talked to, who, you know, I was telling you her world became smaller. But she found a workshop on doing laundry and just helped build her confidence, where she was willing to try new things, keep trying new things and just get more independence back.
For me, I draw sort of a analysis that you're looking at a trip you have to take to a location, and might not be one location, might be many, but you have to travel a variety of roads to get there. So just think of it that you have to take on the first road first, and then the second road, and then the third road before you can even get near to your destination. So if you think of it in that terms.
That's a great point. I love that.
Anybody else? No, no one else? Okay.
Oh, it's Kathy. I had to unmute myself first. Sorry.
Okay.
My byline is, this is a great time in history to lose your vision if you have to lose your vision. So with all the resources out there, yeah, including you. And so it was great to hear all the ways that Hadley has thought about the issues that need addressing. And I'm looking forward to trying them out. I haven't done that yet. So thank you so much.
Yeah. And please keep letting us know how we're doing. We at the end of every workshop, you'll get a little pop-up that says, what'd you think? Like, was it helpful? And you can answer yes or no. If you answer no, we're like, where do we miss the mark? Let us know. And if you answer yes, you're like, what did you enjoy most, or what was most helpful? But right now we're getting about a 97% it's helpful rate, or, you know, positive rating on the workshops, which is super encouraging to us. But, you know, again, there's 3% that we need to grow. So, but you know, our hope is that people find them helpful, and they just let us know how we can improve things. That's what we're constantly trying to do. We're in this mode of like, how can we help? How can we improve what we're doing? And so making suggestions, giving feedback. If anybody's ever interested in being an advisor at Hadley, let me know. We so love turning to our advisors for suggestions and feedbacks and thoughts about ideas we have and things like that. So so please just keep letting us know how we're doing.
Anyone else? All right, I'd like to thank you.
My pleasure.
And say that you were very thorough, and you definitely covered all the things that I was hoping you're going to cover.
That's very polite of you, Glenda.
Quite frankly. No, truly, you covered
very
everything.
Polite of you. I love talking about Hadley.
Well, you have a lot to talk about. They're definitely good stuff, in my opinion. And I think a lot of people on this call, too. Yeah. All right. For the recording's sake, I'm going to close this and say This has been the Delaware Valley Council of Citizens with Low Vision monthly meeting for September 2021. We had a presentation by Hadley on their offerings and ways to be able to benefit from them. Thank you. If you want to find information about joining our organization, you can write me at GlendaSuch@iCloud.com. That's GLENDASUCH@iCloud.com. And someone will get back to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Glenda.
Oh, let me see if I can get.
Thank you, Glenda.
Oh, wait 1 second. I can't get this to. I'm going to actually cut this off so it stops, okay?
Thank you. Thank you so much, Glenda. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mark.
Thank you.
My
Thank
pleasure.
You.
Thanks. You all. Thanks.
Thanks,
Glenda.
Have a great weekend. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.